Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, the risen one, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you've saved up for months, maybe years, and you finally get to go on that trip of a lifetime to the place that you've dreamed about for years, and then you come home to the greetings of family and friends, all of whom have imagined the adventures that you've been on, and the rest and relaxation that you've enjoyed over these last days. When you arrive home and you invite your friends over, then you get to tell the story. You have pictures to show them, perhaps. You retell the stories of all that you saw and heard and tasted and relished. When I was a kid, my dad would have the pictures made into slides. And we'd gather the neighbors in the living room and set up the projector and the screen, and Dad would flip through the pictures. This is the kids swimming in the motel on the first day. This is where we had lunch. We got to see Mount Rushmore. And here's the whole family together. And here's when we needed to say goodbye. With social media today being the forum for pictures, it seems, not pushed off to the end of an event or a vacation. Now we get to see things almost in real time. Gone are the days when we could gather one another together in the living room and retell the story. And something is lost. But even before pictures, people would write letters, tell the tales of stories going on in life, so the people at home could join in the excitement of life. Because life is not meant to be lived in isolation, but together with those we love. In some way, the New Testament letters, like the letter of 1 Peter that we hear written, heard read today, are like that. A message from one to another while adventures are experienced in different places, but of the common joy that is shared. Remember the great joy that we share, Peter begins. The joy of the life and love of Jesus' resurrection, a living hope that will never be extinguished or faded. That will be a protection and encouragement for you until the end of time. And then Peter reminds them that even in the midst of suffering, this genuineness of faith, even if it is tested by fire, will be revealed as our final praise and glory. True, it's not pictures of bison in Yellowstone or kids playing on Grandpa's tractor at the farm, but Peter is eager to relate this joy to his friends. If he had slides like my dad, he might show them pictures of the goodness shown to one another in everyday life, and of the great acts of kindness done for strangers and by these followers of Jesus. And maybe of the times when someone was sick and food was delivered and prayers were said. This is the joyful story that Peter wants to tell. As joyful as the adventures experienced on the trip of a lifetime, as hopeful as the words shared in a letter joining hearts across miles. Last week we gathered to hear and proclaim the wonder of the resurrection. Talk about the trip of a lifetime. We heard about Mary and the other Mary who experienced fear at first, but then also joy and the gift of life as they clung to the feet of Jesus. Imagine if the women had photos to show their neighbors. And this is the stone that was somehow rolled away. And here's the angel who told us not to be afraid. The picture is kind of overexposed. I can't believe we didn't get a picture with Jesus, but we were just too excited to see him. And here's the picture of the guards. I don't think they even lifted their heads after falling to the ground. They were so scared to death. Mary and the other Mary had quite the story to tell. There are certain things in life that draw us together, that cause us to bond with one another, to connect on a deep, intimate, even spiritual level. Scientists say that some of these things are primal, meaning they were written into our bodies and our souls in the very early days of our existence, when existence depended on a connection with each other. Our penchant for hugs, especially in times of deep emotion, good or bad, to hold one another is to protect each other, to warm one another, to be reminded of where and to whom we belong. And sharing meals. When we eat together, it's a participating in the spoils of the work that has been shared, growing and grinding grain, harvesting fruits and vegetables, hunting and bringing home meat. The feast is the revelation of the promise, the declaration that what was hoped for has come to pass. And telling stories. Around the campfire, on the way to fetch water, or in the fields as men and women together moved their way up and down the rows. Stories of the past and dreams of the future have been told for as long as humans have walked the earth. Today, storytelling takes place in cars as kids are shuttled to soccer practice or in the fishing boat, or while hair and nails are made beautiful. If telling the story of our adventures with neighbors gathered in living rooms is so very important, and a grievous loss because such a thing is hardly done for the sake of technological advancement, then how much more is it imperative that we tell the story of our faith in Jesus, who died and was raised and who lives to this very day? What if we told the story of our own resurrection in Christ? I suppose somebody would say, "Whoa, Pastor, now, just you hold on there a gosh darn minute. What do you mean telling the story of our faith? You know darn well that's what we have a pastor for in the first place." And yeah, I get it. I mean, after all, I'm the one who know all the big words. But that's not really the point, is it? And I'm really not talking about teaching people about Jesus or explaining the Bible. I'm talking about telling your story. In the same way that you might tell people about when you went on vacation and saw amazing things, or when something happened in your family, or when life was hard and you went through a tough time. When we gather to tell our stories, even if that gathering is only two or three people, we are enacting those primal encounters, like a hug or a shared meal. And we aren't just passing information, but we're connecting our hearts and sharing our lives, literally restoring life within one another. Tell the story of when you won the spelling bee, or of the time you scored the goal in the soccer game, or when you baked a pie using cherries that were on the tree not 6 hours prior to going into the oven. That's part of my story. But also tell the story of when you got COVID, or when you lost a job, or when someone called you a bigot and you're not really sure why. That's part of my story. Stories can be of amazing adventures, but they can also be about deep struggles and pain. Those ones are harder to tell for sure, but also the deeper the connection with the one who hears you and shares your pain. Sharing faith doesn't just mean about talking about Jesus. It's about sharing ourselves and allowing ourselves, allowing God to connect with us, with the love that Jesus gives us, the resurrected life that Jesus shares with us, because we are willing to die and live together. When Jesus shows up in the room where the disciples are still hiding out for fear of what might happen to their own stories, we aren't told exactly what words are passed between the band of brothers, only that Jesus starts off with a word of peace, shalom, life and hope and joy. But we can imagine the stories, can't we? Where have you been, Jesus? How did it happen? The tomb, the angel, the stone rolled away. Tell us about everything you saw and experienced. And in that sharing of stories, the shalom that Jesus speaks is lived and shared, and it comforts the souls of the disciples more than a picture even, or certainly a social media post, but more like a hug or a feast. And poor Thomas, doubting Thomas, he's been maligned. I don't think that's the case at all. Jesus never calls him that or berates him for wanting to hear and see the story. Rather, the gift Jesus shares with the disciples, he doesn't neglect to also give to Thomas. He tells the story. He shares the adventure. Thomas doesn't get left out, and neither do we. We have heard and seen the story of Jesus play out in the lives of others and in our relationships with one another. It's a story that deserves calling the neighbors and gathering them in the living room, slides or no slides. Only the story of Jesus and how Jesus has given us life and all of the adventures that have and will lead us to life.